I'm going to be introducing our first of three talks about to be a habitation of God's presence within the community. And that's our mission statement as a church. And that's something that kind of underpins everything that we are about and going to be about as we step into this next phase of where God is leading us to be. And so this phrase, what does it mean to be a habitation of God's presence within the community? And I'm going to break it down. Next week, I'm going to talk about that strange word, habitation. What does that mean? That's for next week. The week after that, we're going to talk about community and what it means to be within community as a church and how we bring that presence of God into the community. But today, I want to look at what we mean by God's presence. And I'm going to do that as quickly as I can, but I don't want to gloss over too much. There's a lot of theology around God's presence, and that's something you can look into yourself. But I want to start by looking at what I think is some very powerful verses in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. I love the way that God just sort of starts his Bible, starts off his word. How good is God? He's amazing, isn't he? Okay, and it says this. I'm just going to be looking at the first little part there. Chapter 1, verse 1, right at the beginning, it says that in the beginning, we know that's not God's beginning because God is beyond beginning and end. You know, he's outside of time. That's the beginning of our story, the beginning of us. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so right at the beginning, we see the presence of God. God's presence is creative. God is a creative God. That's the first thing the Bible says about God, that he is creative. So when we talk about the presence of God, we're talking about something that is created, that finds a way where there was no way. In fact, the verb created is bara in Hebrew, and it's only ever used of God. It's never used of man in the Old Testament. It's never used of humans in the Old Testament. This word bara. And I can remember when I was at high school and we had metal work and I made a tankard. I don't know why I made a tankard, because I was 14 years old, so I didn't drink beer. My dad didn't drink very much beer. And in the end, I don't know what happened to it. They probably melted it down because it was rubbish. And then I went to woodwork classes and I made a sign, you know, like the chisel out and was doing all of that. I'm sure some of you have done that before. And that was rubbish. I don't know what happened to that. That went on the fire or somewhere. I don't know. That disappeared. And then I went to Edge Hill. I did art in my first year, and I made a model head. It was like a bust out of clay, and I kept that for 2 or 3 years until I got married, and then it disappeared for some reason. I don't know where that went. I don't know. Somebody got rid of it. But God is the perfect creator. You know, God is his creative power. It's astounding. It says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. So he didn't just create at the beginning of Genesis and that was it, you know, like, yeah, you rested then for the next millennium. God continues to create. He is a creative God. Wherever the presence of God is, there is a creative flow that happens. Isaiah 43, verse 19, see, I am doing a new thing. And I love the fact that it isn't, the focus there is not the new thing. And the focus there isn't the doing, it's the I am. You know, this phrase, I am, that he said to Moses, the Yahweh phrase, see, I am doing a new thing. Where God is present, when the I am is present, then he does a new thing. He made a new way for Noah. When Noah was saved from the flood by the ark, he made a way for Abraham with the goat in the bushes. He made a way for Joseph through the dreams. He made a way for the people of Israel out of Egypt through the Passover. He made a way for Moses through the Red Sea. He made a way for Joshua through the Jordan. And when he was facing Jericho, he made a way for Esther. When Esther's people were about to be massacred, he made a way. He made a way for David against Goliath. He made a way for Daniel in the lion's den. And he made a way for us through Jesus Christ. And he continues to make a way for us. Whatever situation we're facing, our creative God will bring in something new. When you thought there was no possibility of any way forward, God comes in. And that's what his presence is about. God's presence isn't about some kind of like moment of contemplation. We stay forever in this kind of passive place where God is just like soaking us and we're soaking in him. And that is good. You know, it's good to do that. But God's presence is the opposite of passive. It is active. It is creative. It is powerful. It is dynamic. And I love the bit where it says a little bit further down, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And you know, the deep is often like it's a reference in the scriptures often to hell itself. But here it was over kind of the waters. And you imagine this formlessness, this emptiness, this darkness that was there. And it says, Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And I love that. That sense of the Spirit of God, which the Bible often referred to as the presence of God. God's presence is referred to as the Spirit of God, and this presence of God is hovering over the waters like a painter, a great painter who just put some paint on his brush and he's just about to paint a masterpiece, and that's the sense that you get there, that kind of exciting potential. And I believe that's where we're at as a church at the moment, that we're in this place of exciting potential where God is hovering over the waters, about to do something new and exciting. And you know what? He's always about to do that because God is just like yearning to do something new in our life, in your life, in my life, in our families, in our friendships, in our workplaces. And we'll talk about the community bit in 2 weeks' time. But wherever we are, God is about to do something amazing. He's hovering over the waters with this amazing potential. And then as he's hovering, then it happens. And it says, and God said, let there be light. You imagine in this like darkness, which is the darkest darkness you can imagine. Then God says, let there be light. Bang, it happens right there, right now. In that moment, God's presence brings a revelation of himself. Jesus, the light of the world, he brings a revelation. So where the presence of God is, then forget about all your human ideas and your thoughts about how to do things and the best way to do things, because God's revelation comes in. We need God's presence for the revelation of God himself. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection. And it's not about the event. It's not about the solution. It's not about the healing. Because those are all secondary things. You know, the signs and the wonders and the miracles and the God moving, all those are secondary. The primary thing is the presence of God. And all those other things flow from his presence. All life flows from light. God said, let there be light. And light is a crucial element for life. You need light for life. And so the presence of God brings light. And where there is the light of God, then there becomes life, abundant life. And we see that God created then from that, and life flowed from all of that. And God said it was good. And that is what we are about as a church, to continue that light of God into our communities. And that we would be God's presence, can carry God's presence into every place that we go, so that it could become blessing and abundant life. Our statement is to be a habitation of God's presence, not a habitation of God's power or God's healing or God's love, or because it's all contained within his presence within the community. And that's what we're about. And then when we see this happening, it becomes infectious. You see, like in the Acts of the Apostles, and Jesus said to them, wait until my presence, the Holy Spirit, falls on you, and then you'll be my witness. Life comes from his presence. And we might have a desire in our hearts to go off and do, but God says, wait for my presence, because you can't do it without my presence. Galatians chapter 5 says, this live by the Spirit. It says it twice, actually. Galatians 5:16, Galatians 5:25. Live by the Spirit. Live by the Spirit, he says, Paul says. God's presence. And when that happens, it becomes infectious. You know, whatever face coverings you've got on, or whatever social distance you do, or whatever hand washing you might do, there is nothing that can stop the spread of God's presence when we as God's people come out and begin to share that and live that presence. It becomes contagious, it becomes infectious, it becomes something which is transmitted when we live out that life of his presence. We can't live out our own strength. You know, when we try and do it ourselves, that's not infectious, that's the opposite of infectious. That just puts people off. But when it's God's presence, God's anointing, then it becomes powerful, then it becomes infectious. And we see in the Acts of the Apostles, when Peter stood up and there was that anointing of the Holy Spirit, and hundreds were added to the church, and hundreds were added to the church. And the reason that you're here and I'm here is because Peter stood up, because he was anointed with the presence of God. And it all started there, that pouring out. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to read a parallel passage to Genesis chapter 1, and I never realized. So Genesis chapter 1, we've seen the presence of God, and it's creative. And now let's look at Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, and I'll start at verse 14. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. I love that. He went back to his community in the power of the Spirit, God's presence. And news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in the synagogue. Everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up. You know, for you, it might be Ormskirk or Batley or Niedermarket or wherever it might be. So he went back to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went to the synagogue. I love this bit, as was his custom. We've been talking about a way of life. Jesus had a way of life. And so for us, our way of life might be slightly different in different ways. But for him, his way of life was to go into the synagogue on the Sabbath. And he stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "Listen, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. I am a habitation of God's presence," is what he was saying. "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because. And unfortunately, sometimes I think we get into that place of worship and that place of God's presence. We kind of feel that's the end of it then, right? Okay, I feel all filled up with the presence of God. That's great. But actually, for Jesus, no, that's not it. That's not what it's all about. Because the presence of God is, as we've said, creative. It brings about abundant life. And so the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me. He's filled me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And that is our mission. That is what we're called to do, to preach good news to the poor, whatever we consider to be the poor. And it means the poor, but there's so many people who are poor in other ways, in poverty, in spirit, and in mind, in heart, and spiritually poor. We are called to preach good news, but we don't do that when we have the God's presence with us, because flowing from God's presence comes the preaching to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom from the prisoners, whatever those prisoners may be. And we've got people in our church that do go into prisons, but it's also those people who are bound up in whatever way they may be bound up by their past, by the things that people have said to them, by the things that have brought them down, by a worldview that they might have. God says, "I want you, with my presence, to overflow into your communities through you, to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." In all other words, to bring about life, to bring about blessing. So for us, what does it mean? God's presence is powerful. God's presence, when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, when we have that anointing of the Holy Spirit into our lives, it makes us different. As Moses said, "How will people know that we're any different if your presence doesn't go with us? We'll just be the same as everybody else around us." And it's so true, and it's still true. But we need that presence. That's why Jesus said, "To wait until the Holy Spirit comes on you, and then you will be my witnesses." And so God is calling us to get to know him more, to get to know him better, to come closer to him through our way of life. But he wants to impart that presence. And what I love, the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament, and sometimes we can mix these up as a church, and, you know, I believe in what the Old Testament says, but there is a dramatic and a powerful and an amazing change that we're going to talk about next week. And the change is this, that in the Old Testament, they could only ever be with, the presence for God can only ever be with the people of God. But in the New Testament, we know that the presence of God lives within us, that we have become the dwelling place of God himself, temples of the Holy Spirit. And so the question that we've got now is, are we in that place? Are we in that place where God's presence is in us as a church, in us as individuals? Do we bring that presence of God into the places that we go into, which is week three of the talk that I'm going to be talking about? But this week, I wanted to think about that. As I go back into school, and you know, there's always going to be anxiety, there's always going to be difficulty, wherever your workplace is, whatever you're facing this week, you think, okay, I can't do this in my strength, Lord, but I can do it when the presence of God is there, because he will make a way where there appeared to be no way. But we need the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So what we're going to do now, before we have an open time of prayer and sharing, is I just want us to pray for the Holy Spirit to come and fill us again. I want to pray again for that refreshing of God's presence in our lives. And I'll probably be praying this each week at the end. And I want us to kind of, as it were, open up our hearts, open up our minds, open up our hands, whatever kind of picture you've got in your head of receiving that. And because when we look at Jesus himself, Jesus did nothing without the Father, did nothing without the leading of the Holy Spirit. So he lived his life in that. When he was in the desert place, when he was in the wilderness, when he was teaching, when he's preaching, it was the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And God wants to bring that fresh anointing on us again. And to a degree, it's frustrating. I mean, it's frustrating just sat on a chair preaching this. I'd rather be jumping around and waving my hands in the air. But at the moment, within where we are, God can still move in powerful ways. We've seen him move in powerful ways. We've seen him answer prayers. We've experienced his presence, and we want to know more of that. But it's more than just experiencing the presence. It's carrying that presence with us into the places that he is sending us and calling us, whatever that looks like for you. And so we're gonna pray that right now. So okay, so let's just lift up our hands or whatever you want to do. Almighty God, I thank you that you are an ever-present presence. I thank you, Lord God, that your creative, powerful presence wants to occupy our hearts again and through us bring light and bring life into all those places where you're calling us to, within our families, our friendships, our communities, our jobs, our workplaces, where we live. All of those areas, Lord, that you're calling us to, whether it's online or offline, wherever we're going, Lord God, whether it's with strangers or friends of 100 years, Lord God, I thank you that you want to bring your presence. And when your presence is present, then there is a creative power that happens. And something new and something fresh and something exciting happens when your presence is with us. And so we ask you now to fill each one of us again, Holy Spirit. We invite you, Holy Spirit, again this week to enter into our lives, into all of our emotions and all of our thoughts and our thinking. Bring a transformation, Holy Spirit. We can only do it with you. We pray that as we are filled by you, then we will begin to see that fruit that overflows from you. That fruit of love and joy and peace and goodness and kindness and gentleness and self-control and patience. And Lord, that fruit we can't muster that up, Lord. It's only you that can do that. So Holy Spirit, we invite you to come and occupy and fill us again. Where we need to be challenged, challenge us. But Lord, I thank you that you are a gentle, loving God who says, let there be light, and there is light. And then from that light comes life. Lord, we want to be a church where your presence is apparent, where your presence is real, is tangible, and is flowing through us. In Jesus' name. Amen.